Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. The carceral system is complex and challenging to navigate under the best of circumstances. The people who are serving sentences in our jails and prisons have very few advocates. But my guests today, Marissa and Rania, along with another co-founder, Matthew, launched an organization called Pages for Progress while they were still in high school. What began as a book drive for the inmates of a local prison has evolved into a successful literacy program. This episode is a lesson in compassion, patience, and perseverance. Welcome back, everyone. Super excited to introduce you to two new friends today, Marissa and Rania. They're going to tell us all about Pages for Progress. Hey, guys. Thanks so much for being here. Marissa, why don't you kick us off? Tell us how old you are, where you go to school, what grade you're in, all that good stuff. And then we'll kick it to Rania, and then you can tell us all about this wonderful project.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. My name's Marissa. I am a rising junior. I'm a junior now in Rutgers, and I'm a public health major, and I'm really excited to be here. I'm one of the co-founders of Pages for Progress. I'll pass it on.
Amazing. And how about you, Rania?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us as well. I'm really excited to talk about Pages for Progress. And my name is Rania. I will be a rising sophomore at Georgetown University, and I will be studying international economics.
Nice. So you're a little older than my usual guest. Sometimes I have as young as like 9, 10 years old, mostly teenagers, but you guys are in college. So tell us the story of how this got started. Did this start when you all were in high school together? And exactly what is Pages for Progress all about? Marissa, why don't you kick us off?
So we did start it when we were in high school. Matthew was, I think, in college, maybe his junior year. We met at this institute called the Ali Leadership Fellowship, which is essentially kind of, it's a fellowship that helps create like civically engaged young people. And they work with anybody in between the ages of 16 to 22, I believe. And they kind of place you in groups based off your interests, and then you create some sort of civic related project. And that's kind of how we met. And then we chose Pages for Progress. We were all interested in the criminal justice system. We knew, you know, we wanted to do something in it, but we didn't know exactly what, considering, you know, there's so much red tape. And now it's one of the first youth-led literacy initiatives in the country, and it's focused on educating incarcerated individuals. And the inspiration primarily came from, you know, seeing how many people behind bars struggled with literacy, and many of them having like below a fourth grade reading level, and realizing how this very much locks people out of opportunities both inside and outside prisons. And you know, education is very much like a very powerful way to break that cycle of recidivism.
Absolutely. So Ron, you tell me more. Exactly how does Pages for Progress work? So how did you all get started with this idea, and then and logistically, how does it work?
Yeah, so Pages for Progress honestly encompasses a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different aspects of what we did. We've originally started with just a book drive for the Hudson County Correctional Facility. And so we had a book donation box in City Hall, which we worked very closely with the council people there. And we ended up collecting over 300 books. One of the initial issues was then like vetting those books, you know, making sure that the content was appropriate for these incarcerated individuals. But we wanted to do more. We always knew that, you know, just having the books is one thing, but because over 80% are low functioning literacy levels, we needed kind of support systems to surround them just in order to, you know, actually have them be able to read those books. You know, just placing them in front of them wasn't going to do anything. So then we, you know, went through a lot of different ideas, whether we should have our own teachers or we should work with people there. And we eventually, we had spoke with a lot of people at the correctional facility. And the county commissioner, Bill O'Day, had introduced us to an organization called Educate the Block. And so that organization helps with people who are in, individuals who are in the reentry system, kind of learning technical skills like building or like different kind of
vocational skills, you know, basically.
Vocational jobs. And so we worked with them who already had vetted teachers who kind of knew how to interact with these, with like different types of individuals from different backgrounds. And so from there, we kind of instituted our program of a literacy curriculum within the Hudson County Correctional Facility.
Amazing. And was that curriculum virtual or in person?
It was in person.
In person. Wow. Amazing. So Marissa, of course, the first thing that comes to mind for me is, how is this something that you all as a bunch of youth are putting together? How does this not already exist? Right? Like, I'm sort of flabbergasted that this sort of program is not already functioning in the correctional system, that there isn't a vibrant library where people in the community can donate books, where volunteers can go in and teach literacy and reading, job skills. It's, again, I'm sort of flabbergasted that you all came up with this and luckily it sounds like had the support of some elected officials to actually make it happen. But tell me more about how you kind of got into this system. I would imagine that the correctional system is not the easiest to crack in terms of starting a new program, and here you are, a bunch of young people, right? So tell me more about that process.
No, yeah, it was definitely crazy. And I went back to the LE Leadership for a gala recently, and they introduced us and like told us to come up and speak. And it was crazy just looking back. We were a bunch of high school students saying that we're going to do this, and this inside of like a correctional facility. And like just knowing and understanding now the amount of red tape that's within the U.S. criminal justice system is kind of crazy that we managed to do it. But, you know, it was like it took almost 2 years to get in, like involved in the correctional facility. We reached out to elected officials. We reached out to, you know, people higher ups at the correctional facility and like organizations. But it just took one politician that really believed in us to help us like connect us to the right people. And once we did that, it was like tunnel vision. It went like we were moving so fast. You know, we got connected to an amazing reentry organization that's worked within the Hudson County Correctional Facility for like for years. And they had so many connections. And that helped us with like, you know, establishing ourselves. Another big issue that we had was just like being young and wanting to be, you know, advocates in this space. A lot of people are very dismissive and they don't want to hear you out and they don't really care. You know, like even the donation donating the books, like we were told that we'd be able to donate books, but then like once we got the books, there were issues with vetting them. And then now, like, you know, we purchase like brand new books for each cohort that goes through it. So like we've bought the Hamlet and stuff like that.
And Rania, so the volunteers, the folks that do the actual literacy training or the reading, teaching folks how to read and all of this good stuff that you're doing inside the prison, are those youth volunteers or are those, as you mentioned, one organization that was sort of kind of already in that space? So do you have an opportunity for youth to get involved in this direct work? How does it actually work with folks going in to do the teaching?
Yeah, so it's really teachers that have already been vetted and were hired by the organization. The youth kind of more get involved with the background stuff. So we've, you know, got like sat on calls and looked at the curriculum and looked at what we kind of wanted to add and what, you know, we've had input on what books they wanted to read and, you know, different skills of that sort, but we're not the ones actually physically going in other than like occasionally for the graduation. But yeah, that's how we kind of get involved. And we also have a board that also is a bunch of youth as well. And they kind of help with different aspects, like whether that's like social media or finance or different director positions for different aspects of the nonprofit. And, you know, Marissa, if you have anything to add to that as well.
And I was just going to ask, how do you do your fundraising? You mentioned purchasing books now. So I guess there's like fundraising opportunities, right?
Yeah. So essentially what we've been doing is we've gotten grants from the county. So they've like, you know, we've worked with Educate the Block and they've presented like, you know, what exactly we want to do based off the curriculum that we worked on together, you know, the supplies, the amount of people that are voluntarily signing up for the class, for the literacy, the Lit Lab is what it's called. And so based off that, like, they asked for money from the county, and that's kind of like how we've been getting funding for the most part. And then also with Riley's Way recently winning that grant.
Are you thinking that this is going to grow? You mentioned wanting to expand a little bit. Like, how do you see it growing? Is there a model by which other young people in other communities or across the country could kind of take your best practices and incorporate them and do a similar thing where they live?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, so as of right now, we are looking at contracts with other counties within the state of New Jersey, but then we've also received a lot of, like, national support because of various articles that we've been, like, published in. We've had people from, like, California reach out to us, Massachusetts, like, which interest in, like, you know, expanding to their areas. So we're actually working on a toolkit right now in which, like, people can implement within their areas and, you know, kind of have the support that we had. So that's a process, and, like, also learn about the challenges that we went through.
Right. Again, that's the beauty of you sort of forging the path here, right? And having best practices is other people won't. They'll learn from your mistakes, if you will, or shortcuts or ways to actually get this done a little more efficiently. Because for all of this, these years that you sat around trying to get this done, there were people who were incarcerated who were not benefiting from these wonderful services that you provided. You know, Rania, I wanted to ask, tell me a little bit more about this graduation. You just mentioned your co-leader, Matt, who is not with us today because he's at a graduation for a cohort. So, Rania, can you tell us, what does that mean? What does a graduation look like?
Yeah, so we have had around, I think this is our 10th graduation, our 10th wow. cohort with, I think it lasts roughly around, like, 3 months. And so during that, you know, once a week, the teacher will come in and go through our curriculum. And then at the end, we kind of have a graduation ceremony for them where we have, like, a certificate, you know, just so they feel, like, a little bit, just so they feel proud about what they were able to do and accomplish and, you know, to inspire hope for the future for them.
Sure.
I think that's kind of what we really wanted to do with that. I mean, Marissa has attended one of these graduations, so I don't know, Marissa, if you want to speak more about that.
I was just going to say, Marissa, tell us a little bit about the graduation itself and what that feels like. And also, have you heard back from anyone perhaps who's graduated from your program or has gotten out of jail and is now, you know, thriving in a way that, you know, Pages for Progress helped them to get to where they are?
No, definitely. I when I went to the graduation, it was honestly, like, very emotional. So we had, like, the county commissioner who helped us, like, start the program speak, and then we had someone from the LA leadership speak, and then we spoke, and just talking to them about how they like the program, how they like the instructor. And the instructors worked in, like, the Jersey City public school system for over, like, a decade. So she's, like, very well versed in, like, just the education system. But just talking to them was very emotional. Honestly, like, I wanted to cry just talking to them because they were, like, it gave them the confidence that, like, they never were given. And not, and everybody has this, like, bad connotation about people in, like, prisons or jails or whatever it may be, but, you know, like, you never really know what someone's going through or what their life story is. And I feel like just, like, really understanding that is super important. So, you know, someone might have not had the chance to, you know, finish their schooling because of family or whatever the case was, and they got stuck into whatever it was. But just hearing them talk about, like, the confidence it gave them and how they wanted to do it again. And then also, like, the people who graduate from the program, if they're, like, still in the correctional facility, they kind of act as ambassadors for other people to join the program.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. It's like they sign up, like, on a, it's a volunteer basis. So it's not like they're being forced to, like, do the program or anything. So yeah, like, just, like, they advocate to other people. And there's definitely been, I haven't directly spoken to people who have graduated the program and what they're doing now, but there has been people who are now involved with Educate the Block and their other, like, reentry services post-incarceration. And, you know, like, they're doing great. They're getting, like, CDL licenses, culinary, like,
sure, of course,
get them, you know, back.
I think the statistics show, right, research shows that if we invest in these individuals and give them an opportunity to learn, to finish their educations, to get vocational training, as you've discussed, so that they can reincorporate themselves back into society and to be contributing members of society. Well, ladies, I think this is just really wonderful. And I just applaud you for having these ideas and sticking with it
through a really long process and having the determination and the resilience to see it through, really think about the lives that, you know, this program has changed and will continue to change. It's really, really fantastic. Can you, Marissa, can you tell everybody where people can learn more, follow social media, do all of that good stuff?
Yeah. So you can follow us on social media. We have, it's Pages for Progress _, and like you'll see a little yellow logo with like a purple book on it, and that's us. And then we also have our website in our link tree, and feel free to message us or like email us about like anything if you want to get involved or, you know, donate. We're trying to organize like donations for like future cohorts. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work to do, and like we need a coalition and like just people behind us.
No, it's great. And it's Pages for the _ Progress. Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Marissa, Rania, thank you so much for sharing this with us. I think it's really such special and important work. Also, just to have a heart for people who are incarcerated. I don't think a lot of people spend time considering them and their futures. They're all humans, and they all deserve our kindness and our respect and our help to make their lives better. And I just think you're doing a tremendous service for them and for all of us. So thank you so much for this great work.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.